Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
Good morning. All right, here we are, Marriage Beyond the Vows. I'm your host, Marcos Mercado. We want to thank you so much for joining us. You could have been anywhere on your dial, but you decided to join us. As always, we want to begin with a word of prayer. Our God in heaven, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to help relationships heal and grow in you, Father. I pray that you give us everything we need, Father, your word, your scriptures, but most importantly, open minds and open hearts so that we can be receptive to your word, Father. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's topic is unconditional love. We want to hear from you, 855-454-5905. Again, I am your host, Marcos Mercado, here on Praise Your Inspiration Station. And as always, we hope and pray that today's program will encourage you, enrich you, and empower you towards having a great relationship. And this morning, we have two very special guests here in the studio. We have Pastor Matthews and his wife, Tamika. Welcome to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Good morning.
Good. Tamika, you have a special scripture for us. We have a theme scripture of the day. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 13. Is that correct?
Yes, 1 Corinthians 13:7.
Go for it.
Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things.
I love that. Well, tell us a little bit about yourselves. I know you're a blended family.
Yes.
So that's, I was going to say that's unique, but that's more and more common, and it's a blessing, and I'm sure it has its, you know, its side of challenges as well. So share a little bit about your marriage, your relationship, your family. We'd love to hear more from you.
We've been married for 4 years, and Chris has 2 sons, and I have 2 daughters. Together, we have 4 children.
Wow. The Brady Bunch.
Almost.
Or as our mother-in-law calls it, the Kenya Bunch.
The Kenya Bunch.
And we have challenges, but the children get along well, and we try to work through, talk, communicate, and I think that is what helps us each day, having God on our side in that communication. And we're just real with the children. We talk about what they need to do daily to help the family and within their lives, and try to teach them to move in the godly direction when they choose their relationships in the future.
That's great. And, you know, both of you lead a church, I believe, and you're both principals of schools, right? High school and elementary school. Is that correct?
In middle school. Yeah.
Middle school.
My wife is a high school principal. I'm a middle school principal. And we have a church, which is like being a superintendent.
I'm sure. And then you have a blended family. My goodness. So I know you have a lot to share, a lot of wisdom. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about unconditional love. Our theme scripture is 1 Corinthians 13. And we want to hear from you, 855-454-5905. Go ahead and be our first caller. Also, I want to invite you to join us on Facebook. Go to our Facebook page, /Beyond the Vows, facebook.com/Beyond the Vows. Hit the like button if you haven't done that already, and get in on the conversation. Ask your questions, make comments, but most importantly, right now, for the next 2 hours, we're on the air. We've stopped the music, as we always do, and we want to hear from you, 855-454-5905. Now, let me ask you both, what would you say is the greatest challenge of being married, being professional, and having this blended, you know, family in your life, and really haven't been married that long, right? 4 years. But what would you say is the greatest challenge?
It's really finding that balance with careers, with the church, with a blended family, having that balance where you have time for your career, time for the children, time for the wife, and you make that time that we make those connections. Because if you really don't purposely lay it out, have time frames, we black out time. We really black out time. This day is family day. This time, we're not talking about any school work until after 6 o'clock, we're stopping. Mm-hmm. Or a certain amount of time that we spend on goals for a family. Okay. And then we give our children goals. We say, we're a blended family, so what are our goals? We want to see us increase our time together, prayer time, activity time, vacation schedule, but having really balanced time and making sure that we hit all those areas. Because as soon as you lack in one area, it's definitely apparent, and it really resonates for the whole marriage when one of the areas is off balance.
Mm, okay. What do you think, Tamika? What about for you?
I would agree with Pastor Chris that it is also that balance. It's harder for me. I work all day. So, you know, having that challenge of being mother plus a professional, I have to try to balance my time so that I can make sure I'm doing those motherly, wifely, and professional duties all at once.
Wow. And I had the privilege of meeting your family, meeting the kids. And, of course, they're very well behaved. And how does it affect them? I mean, for the last 4 years, you're a blended family. You're raising them, obviously, in the faith. You're obviously both very, ambitious in a good way. You know, you have a lot of spiritual ambition, but also, you're both principals. I mean, is there a high expectation for your kids to do well? Or how do you kind of deal with the parenting side of everything?
I think most parents have that high expectation.
I wish I could say that. I don't know, but I think you guys definitely do. So.
We do put that on our children, but we try not to be overbearing on them because we don't want them to get so stressed out because of our expectations. We try to, like you say, we lead them in a godly way. If there are problems, we turn to Scripture first. And we talk about what the Bible says and what God says, what's right and what's wrong. And
sometimes we do reflect and we say, listen, we work with children all day, every day. And then we come home, we might be a little more direct and we see something like, wait a minute, you're not going to get accused of bullying. Make sure you don't say those things.
Right, teachable
children.
Moments.
We do a lot of those teachable moments,
yes.
Those pausing and addressing those behaviors. And then in church. So I guess... they know that they're visible. They're PKs. So we know how PKs are. Everybody expects pastor's kids to be the best and act the best and do the best. And then they're principal's children. And then so they know the expectations we have. But again, they push the button. So we really have to pull them in and say, hey, listen, we see this every day. And this is what we want the best for you guys. And we try to show them an example. Show them an example how Tamika and I can have a disagreement, but how disagreements are productive, how you can come to a resolution.
Mercy, mercy. So they are P kids, right? To the second degree. Principal kids, pastor
right,
kids.
Right, right. They have
my
a double
goodness.
Dose.
They got the double dose. Oh my goodness. You know, people always talk about, when your parents are educators and they're teachers, but you guys are the principals. I mean, that is amazing. So for everyone just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows. I am your host, Marcos Mercado. And here with us in the studio, Pastor Matthews, Chris Matthews, and his wife, Tamika. They are both an amazing couple. You can get so much wisdom from them. We want to encourage you to call. I'll tell you a little bit about them. They pastor a church. They are both principals, a principal of a high school and a principal of a middle school. They are a blended family with four children. So they have lots and lots of wisdom to share with us. Of course, we want to encourage you to go ahead and give us a call, 855-454-5905. And don't you dare touch that dial. We're going to take a brief break, but don't go anywhere because we will be right back.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise, your inspiration station. We're talking about unconditional love. Do you even know what unconditional love is? Of course, we only know that God knows how to love us unconditionally, and we're talking about marriage and relationships. So go ahead and open up your Bibles, open up your hearts, and pick up your phones. We want to hear from you. 855-454-5905. I am your host, Marcos Mercado. And with us here in the studio, we have Pastor Matthews, Chris Matthews, and his wife, Tamika. They have an amazing testimony. They are a blended family, four beautiful children. But also, not only do they pastor a church, but they are both principals, school principals. They do it all. So we want to hear from them, some great advice. Go ahead and give us a call, 855-454-5905. We're going to go to line one, where Carmen is calling in from the Philadelphia area. Good morning, Carmen. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. We're doing great. We're having a great time here. Of course, as you know, in studio, we have Pastor Matthews and his wife, Tamika.
Yes, I know. And I'm so glad that you that you're there this morning. I always listen to your program every Saturday. I make it a business, too.
Thank you.
I am. Mm-hmm. And you're such a blessing, you and your wife. I'm a single woman. I'm 55 years old. I'll be 56 on Monday, and I've never been married.
Okay.
And I am truly, truly waiting on the Lord. And, you know, so I, you know, have different issues and struggle in different areas in my life. But one thing I have learned about unconditional love is that it is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts at home. It starts with our families, our brothers, our sisters, our parents. And because my mother is in a nursing home, she's 86 years old, mm-hmm. and I have the sole responsibility of taking care of her. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said that if you lose your life, you'll find it.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times we're called to do things, most of the time, we're called to do things that we don't particularly want to do. But it is about a sacrifice.
Mm.
And when we get to the place where we understand that we are here to serve, that God has a purpose and a plan for each life, before the foundation of the world, when he put me here, he knew exactly the family, exactly the circumstances, and what it is he would need me to do. And when we get to that place and we understand that our first commitment is to our families.
Yes.
It's to our families. It's to our parents as they age. It's to our brothers and sisters when they need our support. And if you're faithful in a few things, mm-hmm. then he'll make us ruler over much.
Absolutely. Carmen, let me interject real quick. I do want to say, first of all, I want to commend you just for staying the course. And mm-hmm. you said something, you're waiting for the right one.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, you know, 1 Timothy 5, verse 8 talks about that if anyone does not provide for their relatives and especially their own immediate household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So what you're doing, taking care of your mother, is biblical. You know, we live in a society where, you know, it's easy. People just say, oh, I'll just put my old aging parent in a nursing home. And, you know, sometimes that might be the solution. But too many times people just want to pass the responsibility along instead of saying, hey, God put me on this earth for a reason. I need to serve my family and love them. And although it's not exactly the same as a blended family, you said something really deep. You said unconditional love is not easy. And I think that, you know, when it comes to loving your family, sometimes that can be the real challenge because these are the people that you see all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every day. So, wow, Carmen, that's a great testimony. Now, really quickly, what is your prayer in terms of if God did bless you with a husband, what specifically are you praying about for qualities in him?
I want a man of God. I want a mighty man of God. I want a man that is doing a work for the Lord.
Mm.
Because that is my life's purpose, and that's what God. I want a man that says, "Oh, I'm saved. I go to church." I want a man that is on the battlefield that is doing a work for the Lord. That's my main thing. I want a man that loves God.
And you know
because
what?
Because I know that if he knows how to love God, then he'll know how to love me.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, Carmen, thank you so much for calling. I think you want a man that loves God, will love you, and, of course, will love your mama.
That's right.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we thank you, Carmen. God bless.
God bless you, too.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you. All right, great. We're going to line two where we have Iverson calling in from New Jersey, from the Garden State. He has a testimony to share. Good morning, Iverson. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're doing great. Mm-hmm. You mentioned to our producer you have a testimony you want to share with us?
Yes, sir.
All right, go for it.
My name is Iverson. I'm calling from Burlington, New Jersey. About a year and two months ago, I got married to my beautiful wife.
Congratulations.
And 23 days later, after we got married, my wife got really sick, and I took her to the hospital. And while in the emergency room, three doctors came, and they said my wife got leukemia.
Oh, wow.
And it was the first stage, and they found out that she got leukemia early. And we happened to spend 2 months in the hospital. I was, you know, praying, asking God, why it's her? You know, we just got married. We don't even start enjoying our life together. Mm-hmm. And I was 25 then. And then day by day, I'm praying, asking God, you know, please help us through everything. You know, I go to work. I lost a lot of weight. I don't eat, you know, go to the hospital right after work, sleep in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And she received chemotherapy, and then they sent her home, and then through the whole year, we are going back and forth to the doctor, and she's still receiving treatment. Now, they was going to do, they was going to give her a bone marrow transplant.
Yes.
So now she transferred to a hospital, and she's in a hospital in Florida now. I forgot the name of the hospital.
No, it's okay. So now she's getting treatment, and she's down in Florida.
Yeah, now she's doing much better. She was going to get, what's that treatment called? Not chemotherapy, the other one.
Radiation.
They was going to do that, but thank God they're not doing that anymore.
Oh, that's great.
The hospital that she's in now, she don't even have to get the bone marrow transplant.
Wow.
They've given her a last treatment, and then she's doing much better, and I'm thanking God for all he have done for us. And I lost my job a month and a half ago, and I'm still hanging in there, and God is still making a way for me.
Absolutely. And Iverson, I tell you, your story is an absolute story of unconditional love. Because you 3 weeks into marriage and you find out something like this, I've known people and I've seen it where people run away. They can't face the challenges, but you're there by your wife's side going through the trials and tribulations. What do you guys think? I want to hear from the Matthews as well.
Wow, that's a testimony. I just want to encourage you and let you know that you know, when trouble happens, you know, God always, you know, has a remnant for us, that even in situations like that, that God has an answer. And I want to encourage you just to keep your faith in him and know that he won't put more on you than you can bear. And that whatever you're going through, there's an answer. There's a solution to just pray. Say, God, Lord, while I'm in the center of the storm, center of the situation, just show me your presence, your power and your purpose. And God will begin to give you that grace to get through. We call it that amazing grace, you know, that you really shouldn't be able to stand it, but you're standing through it because of his grace. So understand that he's not going to leave you or forsake you. And our prayers and the whole congregation and my prayers and the wife's prayers are definitely with you.
Absolutely. So I just want to take a quick moment, Iverson, and say a prayer. What is your wife's name?
Her name is Evos Bergren.
Evos?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to say a quick prayer here. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this time, God. It's so encouraging to hear Iverson's testimony. Yes. Father, just 3 weeks after their wedding and her being diagnosed with leukemia, we are so grateful to hear she's doing a lot better. Yes. But the trials and tribulations are still real. Father, I do pray for his wife, Eve Rose, God. I do pray that you heal her, continue to heal her, and just be with their marriage, God, that their love for you and for each other will grow stronger.
Yes,
we love
God.
You. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Iverson,
amen.
God bless. Thank you so
God
much
bless
for,
you,
for sharing that. And
thank you.
Stay strong and keep us posted, please.
Of course, I will. Thanks.
God bless. All right. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise Your Inspiration Station. I am your host, Marcos Mercado. We're talking about unconditional love. And what a story of unconditional love.
Yes,
talking
definitely.
About just 3 weeks into their marriage, his wife was diagnosed with leukemia. What an amazing story. And I'm so happy to hear she's doing a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Let's continue to keep them in our prayers. What do you think? I mean, we talk about our trials and tribulations. I tell you, sometimes we complain, we struggle, and then we hear things like this.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes things like that, Marcos, are amazing to hear because you know, when you're going through your own problems, we all tend to put our problems at such a high level, and we think that what we're going through is so traumatic and
yeah,
so
like,
horrible.
You're like, I can't take it anymore. You know, my husband keeps leaving the toilet seat up. What's wrong with him?
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear a story like this, and you're like, wow, how could I be so shallow? I mean, and of course, maybe that's an exaggeration, but usually, let me tell you, our arguments tend to be about like the most mundane things.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
There are times, I'll be honest, I don't even remember what we were arguing about because
mm-hmm.
something else is the issue. But when you hear stories like this, you realize you can take so much for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just your spouse being diagnosed with something terminal. I mean, I'm so grateful that they caught that early. But, you know, we want to hear from you. What is your testimony? What is your story, question, concern, comment for us? Give us a call at 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We also invite you to join us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/beyondthevows. Tell your friends and family to tune in and go ahead and give us a call, 855-454-5905. If you're just tuning in, I am your host, Marcos Mercado, and we have here in studio, live in the studio, some special guests. We have both Tamika and Chris Matthews. They pastor a church. They're both principals of schools. They have a blended family, just so much that they have going on. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
And so I have another question. This one's more of a parenting question.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do when I know you're in a lot of ways, you say your children, the four, but, you know, two were from your previous marriage
yeah.
and two were from your previous marriage. I think the boys are yours, right?
Correct.
And the girls are yours.
Yes.
Perfect blend.
Perfect, right? That works perfectly. What do you do when it's time to discipline or the other child, the children of your spouse, let's say, they step out of line and you feel like you need a discipline? Do you discipline them or do you communicate to your spouse, listen, your child did this, you need to discipline? I mean, what do you do?
That's a great question. That definitely is a hot button.
Mm-hmm.
Any couple that's in a blended situation, that's a hot topic. Finances is one, but children. Mm-hmm. Parenting styles. All parents have tendencies to discipline their children the way they were disciplined, the way they were
right,
brought up.
Right.
And everyone thinks that their style is best. Yeah, my way is best. The way I speak to the boys is best. The way she speaks to the girls is best. And you don't understand how to deal with boys because I'm a male and you're not. And you don't understand how to deal with girls because I'm a woman and you're not. So there has to be a common ground, common respect, common expectations that in this house, both of us are the parents and both of us have the equal voice. However, in most situations, she'll take the lead when it comes to the girls,
mm-hmm.
and I'll take the lead when it comes to the boys. However, we can call audible at any time and say,
right,
wait
right.
a minute, if you don't get that together, I'm going to, like she said it yesterday, she told, I think, one of the boys, if you don't do that, I'm going to tell your dad, and he's going to get with you. And I said the same thing. If you don't clean that room, I'm calling your mom right now, and she's going to get with you. So it's a tag team wrestling approach.
But I like that because you're working together. Like you said, you might not see everything eye to eye, but you decided, okay, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to back each other up.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, we're still in charge. The kids are not in charge.
Right, yes. Right.
Which is excellent. What were you going to say to me?
I agree with Pastor Matthews that we do. We try to communicate together, mm-hmm. and we let the kids know what our expectations are up front.
Mm.
And they know. They don't, you know, they will, they know that they can go to him. My girls and the boys know they can come to me. However, we make decisions together,
mm.
you know. What the boys might tell him, he will share with me. What the girls might tell me, I'll share with him so that we can make decisions together.
And we'll go huddle in the back and make a group decision.
Awesome. I love it. So if you're just tuning in, give us a call, 855-454-5905. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows. I am your host, Marcos Mercado. Let's continue with our phone calls. We have Teresa calling in from the Philadelphia area. Good morning. Hello. You're live on the air. Yes, Teresa.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was calling for a little bit of advice. Me and my husband, we've been married for about 8 years or so, and we moved from New York to Philly. And for about 3 years, we've been out here now. And ever since we've been out here, it's like he always goes to New York every weekend or every other weekend. Mm. And he never comes back. Like, if you say he's going for the weekend, and he won't come back exactly like on a Sunday. He'll come back like on a Monday or something like that. And whenever I like ask him why or address it, it's, oh, I'm bored out there and I miss my family.
Okay. Where does he go in New York?
To Brooklyn.
Okay.
His sister's
Brooklyn.
House.
So he's going to Brooklyn every weekend. Hey,
yeah.
I moved from New York as well. And when I moved to Philly, I thought I would go back all the time, and I ended up not really going back. But what does he think? I mean, what does he say when he goes? Is it because of his family or what's going on?
He says that it's boring out here because we're not exactly in Philly. We're in the outskirts, in the suburban area.
That's fine.
It is boring, but we're 33 years old, and I'm, you know, like, we decided to move out here for the kids. So I'm like, New York is not all that exciting to go every week. And so when I ask him, you know, are you seeing someone, he say, oh, stop being insecure. And I told him, you know, I'm not being insecure. That I'm human. Anybody would assume that if you go all the time, you know. And
do you ever go with him?
Sometimes I would go, but when we go, we don't see each other because I'll be with my family and he's with his family.
I think that the problem is right there, though. You're already doing too many things separately.
Mm-hmm.
Even going back and being with each other's, you know, with your family, and let me tell you what we do in my house. I had a similar situation. I left New York City for that same reason, because of to give my kids a better education. I mean, the New York City public schools are not great. Philadelphia has its challenges, but the suburbs of Philly are there are some great school districts there. And so we did the same thing. We moved. You're right. I mean, some things in the suburbs, you know, I remember it would be like 7:30 at night. We want to go grab a bite to eat and everything was closed. I'm like, what in the world? You know, you come from the city that never sleeps and that happens. You're like, what do we do? But one of the things that we did is we drew closer. And so we have like religiously as a tradition where we kind of tag team. We spend time with our family. My family is really big and we love to do things together, but we also spend time with my wife's family and we take turns. So Thanksgiving we might have with my family, then Christmas we would do with her family. And sometimes like New Year's, we'll probably just do just us, our immediate family. And we try to work together at that, because if not, I feel like we would draw further and further apart. Let me hear what the Matthews have to say, because they've only been married 4 years. They're a blended family. And so maybe they have some of those challenges with, you know, their distant relatives or even in the church that they pastor, some similar situations.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa, let me just ask you this question. Is there a problem why he can't go to your family or you can't go to his family? Or
no, it's really no problem. He used to come around my family a lot, and I used to go around his family a lot, but the families are totally different. I don't agree with some of the things that his family do or, like, the way they act sometimes. Like, we don't get along as well as my family get along. They're not welcoming. Like, in the beginning of the relationship, it wasn't that welcoming. So now I think they just tolerate me out of respect because we're married, but it's not like a... it's not welcoming at all, really.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think, thank you for sharing what's going on. And one thing that we know it's important in any marriage is to have time together. You guys moved out for a better life and a better purpose. Myself, I'm from Philadelphia. I grew up in Philly. I'm the same way. I moved to New Jersey because of the same schools and we wanted things to a better environment for the kids. However, I think it would be a good to express to your husband in a good time, not a time that you had an argument, not a time when you're mad, but a time maybe if you had a walk and you guys saw a movie or did something fun, and just share with them. Say, you know, honey, when you go, whatever you call them, baby, honey lamb, apple crumb cake, whatever you call them, say, when you go away, it makes me feel alone and by myself. And I know the Bible talks about that, you know, a husband should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And I'm not accusing you or saying that you're doing anything wrong, but I would like to be included more. The children would like to be around you. And when you're away like that for a weekend, I think it causes a huge disconnect between us. And I would like for us to work on that.
We're really, really past that. Like, I'm really caught right now because he's been going 2 weeks. He has kids outside of us, before us. And one of them was supposed to come live with us. We had to handle the situation in court in New York, and he's supposed to come back. But he hasn't been back. So my question is, how do I continue to trust him? How can I continue to love him? Because I don't even believe the situation is true. I don't trust the reason why he's out here this long. And so I'm really ready to end it.
There's something else there.
Three kids, and they're all under five. And I just had a baby who's just a month. But I'm so frustrated. I'm so angry with the whole situation because he stopped picking up the phone at one point, and he says because he don't want to argue. But I just don't understand why, you know, he stays so long and don't come back. And part of me don't even want the daughter to live here because there's so much history. And so my question is, how do I trust him? How do I continue to love him when I don't even believe him?
Okay, let's clarify one thing. I mean, there's a difference between loving someone unconditionally and putting up with nonsense.
Great point.
And I think that this is nonsense. I mean, he's running from his responsibilities. He's, I mean, let's just call it what it is. He's being a lousy husband. Mm-hmm. Whether he's being unfaithful or not, he's being irresponsible, and he's wrong. He needs to be called out on it. And I think that what you're doing is actually good. You get to the point where you're saying, listen, I can't live this way. And that's fair. That's understandable. You made vows to be in each other's lives. Just a moment ago, Pastor Matthews talked about you forsake all others for each other. And he's not doing that. He's putting other people, whether his family or even himself, above you and your family. The scripture in Luke chapter 11 in verse 17, it says, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. You don't even have to do anything. If he keeps going at the rate he's going, the marriage will end.
Right.
Don't feel like you have to end it. What you need to do is you need to say, listen, our marriage is about to end. This is failing. If you want to salvage it, you need to do X, Y, and Z. Because he's already going down that road of destruction. It's almost like, imagine someone going down the wrong way, a one-way street, and they're driving down the opposite direction. It's just a matter of time before they have a huge accident. That's what he's doing.
Exactly.
So what you got to do in a loving way is warn him and say, listen, honey, I love you. I married you. I want this to work. But you're going down a really dangerous path. You're going to ruin it all. And then it's up to him to make the decision to listen or not. It doesn't sound like, however, that he is ready to listen. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't sound like it.
Let me ask you a question. Does he work when he goes away for 2 weeks?
No, it doesn't work. He had a job. He had a job, but for some reason, he lost it. And it's like that's been a situation. He'll get a job for a couple of months and then don't work. Something will go wrong.
You know, you need to have him call us so we can give him like a spiritual beatdown because he's really messing up there. But I tell you what you do. You keep praying. You stand firm. Don't compromise. The worst thing you can do is he comes back and everything is back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You need to say, listen, I can't live like this. I am not going to do it. And that's perfectly okay.
All right.
All right. Well, we'll be praying for you, Teresa. Please give us a call. And if you can, please encourage him to give us a call.
Okay. Thank you.
God bless,
thank
Teresa.
You. God bless.
Thank you.
God bless.
All right. Well, you're just tuning in. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise Your Inspiration Station. I'm your host, Marcos Mercado. We're talking about unconditional love. Go ahead and give us a call at 855-454-5905. You could talk to me, Marcos Mercado, or our in-studio guest. We have Pastor Matthews, Chris Matthews, and Tamika Matthews. They're both just an amazing, amazing couple, blended family. They pastor a church, a growing church, by the way, not just a church. They have an amazing growing church with a lot of young couples in the church.
Yes.
And like I said, they have a blended family, and they are both principals, school principals. So they have a lot going on in their lives, but they're here with us this morning just to encourage us and share some of their nuggets of wisdom. We're going to go ahead and go to line two, where Anthony is calling in from Charlotte. Good morning, Anthony. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
We're doing great. Well, thank you so much for giving us a call. What is your comment or question for us today?
Well, I have a request / comment. I don't think it's no accident that you guys speak on this topic today.
Mm-hmm.
I've been hearing people talk about it. I'll turn on my TV. I've been hearing different pastors preaching on the subject. James Merritt, I love him. I listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been in my heart all week where he had this one family he was talking about. The title of the message was Tide.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about unconditional love, and that's just kind of been resonating in my heart like all week. And I haven't shared it with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been keeping it to myself, just thinking about it. And, you know, I do realize that from certain aspects, my love for my wife has been conditional. It's been a lot of conditions put on it. Even though we've been married 2 years now, and even though things have gotten a lot better, things are going great, I have a struggle within,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I deal with. And I realize that I have a lot of conditions on my love, and I don't want to be that way. And I just want to take the opportunity to ask for prayer over that, to love her better and to love her unconditionally in the places where I fall short.
Okay.
To do better.
Well, we thank you. Thank you for your humility to even ask for help. Question for you, Anthony, and I want to clarify this as well, because when we speak of unconditional love, we're not saying that the relationship is unconditional. And let me just give you an example. You know, God loves us unconditionally, right? The Bible says that even when we were sinners, Christ died for us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not depending on our merit. It's not like God loves us when we do what's right. He loves us whether we do right or wrong. However, the relationship with God is contingent upon us following and obeying him, meaning that if we decide to turn our backs on him, he still loves us, but we won't have a relationship with him. And so it goes the same for marriage. You can have someone you love, but if they are, you know, behaving in such a way that's causing hardship or damage to the relationship, a case in point would be someone's unfaithful, that doesn't mean you just remain with them. So I just want to clarify that. So when you're saying that you struggle with unconditional love, is it when your wife does something that hurts you, that you feel like you don't love her as much, or you're impatient with her? I mean, what could you give us an example?
Like, unfortunately, I have a lot of those. Like,
pick one. Pick one.
Time when things will happen, like, let's say, whether she's right or wrong. I didn't get the attention that I wanted, or she might have done something that I felt offended by, like let's say she's, you know, indulging too much in, you know, like a device or something like that, or emails or something.
All right, so she's on the internet, and you feel like she's not giving you attention. What happens?
Well, in my heart, I would really start feeling some kind of way, and in some instances, I used to get really angry if I felt like it was too long. Or, you know, certain things will happen that might clearly be a little bit unfair, a little over the top. But as a man, I would get deeply offended. And in the past, in the recent past, I used to just blow up about it.
Mm.
I have an attitude and be mad for a couple hours. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, in First Corinthians where it says love is patient. That's inside my mind. It says love
that's the first thing.
Believes all things. Like, I haven't really been doing that.
I hear
you. I should. It's not going to be perfect. But I haven't been doing it. Regardless of whether it was right or wrong, don't matter. As the man, I want to take the lead.
I got you. I hear you. And you know what? Sometimes we can misunderstand and think that being angry is wrong. You know, Ephesians 4:16 simply says, in your anger do not sin, meaning that that's not wrong. So being upset or being hurt about what your wife is doing is not wrong. It's your reaction that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you take that laptop and you fling it across the room, or you just get vindictive, or you are hurtful with your words, I mean, that is the moment. And I think Pastor Matthews made a great comment earlier when we were helping a previous caller, and he was saying, listen, you know, sometimes what you have to do, you have to, like, really explain to the person when things are good, you know, not in the heat of the moment, you know, but when things are good, saying, baby, let me talk to you. And I love it because even his tone of voice changed when he was doing it. Chris, maybe you could share a little bit more about that comment here with our brother Anthony.
First of all, I want to say we really appreciate your humbleness and your openness. And, you know, one of the biggest things to getting any help or change anything is to admit that you have an area, and for you to come and be that forthright and say, listen, I'm struggling in this area. I just commend you. And God's going to do some great things because you have a right attitude for him to do some amazing things. And not to beat yourself up, because most, I would say a lot of relationships that we talk to and counsel with are based upon if-then relationships, quid pro quo. Something for something. I do something for you, so you do something for me. I'm married as long as you treat me right. I'll stay married as long as you cook dinner. I'll stay married as long as you don't disrespect me. I'll love you as long as you spend time and don't go on the internet. I'll love you as long as you do this. And that's human nature. That's human proclivity. But when Christ comes in, and it takes work, the unconditional part says that I'm not happy with the behavior, but I'm still committed to the end product, which is the marriage. Mm-hmm. So while my feelings or my temporary happiness might change, I'm not happy if my wife stays on the internet and doesn't talk to me. I'm not happy if she doesn't spend time with me or appreciate me, but my love is still there. So developing that I love the relationship bigger than my happiness. And then through prayer, as Marco said, through timing, one of the biggest things I think that married couples have difficulty with is timing. It's not always the right time to have a conversation. It's not the right time to have an argument. Sometimes the best time is after you've had a good season, and then you lay out goals and you lay out plans. So, you know, laying out to her, not in a moment, a volatile moment, an angry moment, saying, listen, baby, and then you lower your voice. Like you say, hey, listen, baby, let me just tell you how much I appreciate you. And you lower your voice. That's real important. And then after you do that, then you lay out and say, listen, it makes me feel this way when you're on the phone too much, or when you're watching a reality show and don't spend time with me. It makes me feel sad or disappointed. And I really kind of feel bad about the marriage. So I know I shouldn't vacillate in my feelings, but truthfully I am. So being real, I think, will help your wife and you guys come to some resolution and heal a marriage.
And let me be honest with you, the way that Chris said it, you know, he lowered his voice, maybe he put music in the background.
A candle.
It actually might lead to, you know, some good loving. You know,
right, right.
But Anthony, let me add this to you as well. I think you obviously love your wife, because if you didn't love your wife, this wouldn't bother you, right? It bothers you because you want your wife's attention. You want her love. I think what the problem is, you don't know how to react in a loving way. So I don't misunderstand. You sound like you deeply love your wife. You
Definitely.
Want her attention. Now you got to learn how to communicate that it communicates that love. Because I let me tell you, that's something I'm still learning more and more. But I've made huge mistakes where I had the right intention, but the way I communicated, and a lot of it is nonverbal for me. So I can say the right thing, but my face, my body is saying something else, and it doesn't communicate encouragement, loving, and patience. And so I think in the best thing to do, you came humble to us, go humble to her and say, listen, you know, I just want to learn how to love you better, how to communicate when I'm hurt, what would help you? And just a word of advice, when you ask her, after she answers, say that, and what else? What else can I do? And after that, ask her, what else can you do? So that you have a list of things and she can really feel heard and then take those things to heart. Does that sound good for you?
Yes, it sounds very good. Yeah.
Well, Anthony, thank you so much. And I think it's definitely the Holy Spirit moving, where you've been hearing the unconditional love everywhere you go. And it's like, man, that's just resonating with you. Once again, we thank you so much for picking up the phone and giving us a call this morning.
Marcos, is there a way, that was a great point that you said, is there a way you can help the listeners advocating for the married men about intention versus perception? Like when we have the right intention, we want to do it right. We want to have the right conversation, but the way it comes off is perceived horrible.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's a whole topic in itself, but you know what? We probably have time to get more into that. We're about to take a break in just a moment. Anthony, again, I want to say thank you so much for calling us. I just got to figure out how much time we have before our break. All right, we got 2 minutes before the break, so we'll start talking about it, and then we'll take the break and continue. In the meantime, give us a call, 855-454-5905. Now, Brother Matthews, go ahead and mention that again. Like, mm-hmm. What you're saying intention?
Yeah, a lot of times couples will say, well, I came to him, my husband, and I told him that I want him to spend more time with me, but then I had my hand on my hip and I was rolling my eyes and I snapped and it got worse. We took your advice, Pastor, and it got worse. Well, how did you come to him? Or I came to my wife and I told her, you need to do better.
Communication.
It always comes down to communication. I mean, let's be honest, right? Wars start because of communication.
Right, right.
Divorce happens because of communication.
Yeah.
I tell you, so there have been couples, marriages we've been able to see saved mm-hmm. who are about to get divorced because they weren't talking to each other.
Mm.
And sometimes you do need a mediator. You know, if you're doing something and it doesn't work, you know, the Bible says where two or three are present, there I am also. Well, sometimes I know this scripture is not directly talking about marriage, but I believe sometimes the two is the husband and the wife, and you need that third one to come
mm-hmm.
and to say, mm-hmm. hey, let's pray, let's talk, let me help you to see. Because, you know, we don't always take it well when someone that hurt us is the one pointing out
right,
the fault.
Right, right.
We just don't take it well.
Nice.
And so I know for my wife and I, we believe deeply in couples discipling,
mm-hmm.
Meaning that my wife and I, even this past week, we had a great, great time with some people we love and trust very much. And we're doing something actually is called solution focused. It's a form of therapy. It's solution focused. We're introducing it to our congregation. We're doing it for married couples and for parenting. And basically what it is you help people to look at what do you want to accomplish? So I'll give you an example. In your case, you know, let's say you come to me and you just had a big blowout and you hurt one another and you're like, you know, my wife won't listen to me. You're like, my husband won't listen and blah, blah, blah. And instead of focusing on the problem and tell me about your problem, tell me about your argument, say, what's the solution? Like, what are you trying to gain? By our time, let's say we have an hour together, what are you trying to gain? And you're saying, well, you know, if I could just get my wife to listen more. Like, okay, well, that's good. Well, what makes you feel listened? Well, you know, I know my wife loves me, but she doesn't listen because she's always on the computer. Okay, well then let's talk about that. And we'll come up with a solution and then vice versa. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about this.
Oh, nice.
We want to hear from you. Mm-hmm. Our number to call is 855-454-5905. 855-454-5905. Don't you dare touch that dial. We'll be right back.